Hello, welcome back to the Hard Factor Nigeria Info and here in Port Harcourt. I'm Dio. 8 minutes gone past 5 p.m. Our conversation continues and we'll move on to a matter that arguably is, I think, at least as at earlier on today, it happened to be the number one trending story in Nigeria, at least as far as the Twitter space is concerned. And everyone's getting in the conversation, and unsurprisingly, Serap is as well. And he was posted on Serap's official Twitter handle earlier today. Before today, possibly. Serap demands release of Aminu Muhammad, a student reportedly arrested. I think I'd rather read the actual tweet itself put up by Serap earlier on. So this was put up 2 days ago, 27 precisely, from Serap's official Twitter handle. Breaking: the Buhari administration must immediately and unconditionally release Aminu Muhammad, a student at the Federal University of Dutsen, who was reportedly arrested over a post on Twitter allegedly criticizing the First Lady. We'll see in court if he's not immediately released. Now, in case you're wondering, here's some backstory. This one from Premium Times. Please forgive our son, parents of arrested university student begs Aisha Buhari. Parents of a student of the Federal University, Dutse Aminu Zare, who was arrested for allegedly insulting the wife of President Buhari, Aisha Buhari, that she was feeding fat on poor people's money, has called on the First Lady to forgive and release their son. Mr. Zare, final year student of environmental management of the school, was arrested after a tweet he posted in June on the allegation against Mrs. Buhari went viral 5 months later. He attached a photo of the First Lady to the tweet and, apparently, a lot, as they say, the rest somewhat is history, even though some of what is happening is still very much happening before us at this time. Now, speaking to BBC House on Monday, the uncle of the arrested student, Shubaba Zari, said the family are pleading with the wife of the president to forgive their son. He said the family had no knowledge of the arrest until 5 days later when their son's colleagues told him he had not been seen for days. He said Azari was taken on 17 November, taken to Abuja, where he was reprimanded and tortured in the presence of Mrs. Buhari. The father did not know of the arrest. The following morning on Monday, Aminu called his father through a security agent's phone and informed him that he was being held in Abuja by security agents. He said he was taken to the state house, reprimanded and beaten in the presence of the wife of the president before he was taken to an unknown location and locked. The founder later informed me that the university management, Federal University Dutse, called to inform him that they were not aware of the arrest. And I did inform you as to what Serap's position on that was earlier on. But I'm asking you as well, what are the implications of Aminu Muhammad's arrest? What does it tell us? What does it tell you as a person, as a Nigerian, as an individual? Let's get your take. We're live on facebook.com/NigeriaInfoPH, live on Twitter at NigeriaInfoPH. But also joining me via phone right now is Serap's Deputy Director, Kola Ali Oluwadare. Kola, good evening to you. Welcome to Hard Facts.
Good evening,
Daya. All right, I've checked earlier on. I can't say that I've come across any such information, but I'd like to ask you, maybe you have, or maybe Serap has there been any confirmation from the police, other security agency, the DSS maybe, because some reports mention the DSS, has there been any confirmation from any of these agencies as to why Aminu Muhammad was arrested? Because there appears to be no doubt that indeed there was an arrest, but has there been any official word from government agencies or maybe even the presidency for that matter as to why he was arrested?
Not at this point. From the reports also available to the public, we do not even have clear and official confirmation of which of the law enforcement agencies is responsible for his arrest. We are also trying to take steps to confirm this so that that will direct our appropriate legal response. But I think the law is clear that whichever agency is responsible for this real action itself. It's our love, and it's a breach of the various laws in Nigeria.
Speaking of the laws, does the law not guarantee that the police or other security agencies have the right to make arrest and even detain person who are suspected of having committed a crime of whatever nature?
And I just mentioned someone who has committed a crime or suspected of committing a crime. What's the crime in this instance? They post on social media. When they post on social media, they commit crime. And so the powers of arrest of law enforcement agencies, of course, is not at large. It is curtailed, among other things, from the instances you've mentioned yourself, if an individual is suspected of committing crime or about committing crime. And in this instance, subject to whatever facts becomes known after now, because we are, I'm speaking from the facts available to the public, but the Nigerians that we've seen also, there is no crime here. And until the law enforcement agencies were responsible comes out to tell Nigerians the nature of the crime they think he has committed or he was about to commit, we have made them arrest him. As it stands, posting the post he allegedly to have made on social media does not amount to a crime under Nigerian law, not at all.
But is it safe for us to assume that what is circulating online and even conventional media as well is the reason, since there has been no official word from the police or any other agency, is it safe for us to assume that that's the reason for his arrest?
I know, it's also tired. To assume, we must understand the context. We can assume for the purposes of personal opinions, for the basis of any legal action. Of course, the law does not, the assumption will not amount to anything in law. So we can, we are Nigerians, we are free to hold personal opinions, and we're free to discuss them. We can assume from the set of facts available to the public, but to ground any kind of legal action, assumptions will not suffice. So in this instance, which law, a particular law, a percentage that arrested him? When was this arrest? Where was he arrested? Where is he present? Which offense did they confirm it that he has committed? And all this would feed into whatever legal action we may want to take. But in this instance, from the facts available, if what is alleged of things on social media is the basis of his arrest, it is clearly unlawful, and it's a breach of fundamental of his fundamental human right. Mm. Yes, we can assume that as Nigerians, because we have the right to hold opinions. But that, unfortunately, may not be enough for any kind of legal intervention.
Now, assuming the information in which we're all relying on at the moment turns out to be fact, and that's actually what's transpired, that based on some tweet or because of some tweet put up some months ago, referring to the First Lady as being fat and having fed on the resources of the poor in the country, assuming that's the basis for this arrest, and some of the other information we're getting, assuming that's also true, that he was actually ferried to Abuja, to State House Abuja, where he was reportedly reprimanded, beaten up. Some reports even say in the presence of the First Lady. Some reports even go further to say that the First Lady attempted to kick him as well or join in the beating, and as she fractured a foot and had to be taken to a hospital. Assuming all of this is true, what does it tell us?
And we cannot assume these facts altogether and be very sure. But if they are true, as they are allegedly being reported in the media, it is very, very wrong. And it should not come. It should not. And this is not entirely new, either in Nigeria or some of the so-called democratic countries that we've seen in Africa, where people have brought up offenses like insulting the president or some or such other laws. It shouldn't be. If individuals or public officers feel aggrieved by any statement made by fellow citizens, the court, people always have recourse to go to court. And it's a civil action. Of course, you can make a claim for defamation or libel. But in this instance, he has committed no crime. Or into the people. And the law is clear about the right of freedom, the right of Nigerians have the freedom of movement, the right to life and other rights. And we're not even talking of freedom of expression in this regard. Even if he had committed a crime, law enforcement agencies have no right to hold him pertaining beyond the constitutional provision of 48 hours. So, really, and that is why instances like these makes us understand the importance of democracy, not only by going to the polls every 4 years, but to understand the essence of a decent society where the rule of law prevails. When things like this happen, it reminds us of the purpose of why organizations like CERAB have been clamoring for the rule of law, where the law is above everyone else. And so in this instance, if this is true, how do we get justice for this kind of individual? How do we get justice for various individuals who are going through this silently that we do not even know? And how do we ensure that this doesn't happen again? And those are the important conversations we should be having from this, that Nigerians need to understand why it is very important that we obey laws, not because we have access to power or any kind of privilege over other people.
And once again, caller, assuming that what's the information that's pervading the media space, new media space, Twitter sphere at the moment, assuming all of that is true, and putting it side by side, the rule of law and democracy, does democracy not guarantee or not give effect to the rule of law? Because we do have democracy in Nigeria. We do hold elections every 4 years. We go to the polls, we elect people. Government or the people for the people by the people, supposedly. Why is our democracy not giving effect to the rule of law?
It is so tired. Your guess is as good as mine. These are the issues we talk about every time on and off there. It is just the lack of political will on the highest level, down to the lowest level of governance, that has led us to these very call it sad moments. Because this is just one case out of many. Sometimes you read them on the pages of newspaper, we hear them on TV and radio, and a lot more goes on that we do not even get to hear about. This impunity cannot be allowed. We cannot just allow this to go on. We do have a democracy, and like I said earlier, it doesn't start and end with electing people into offices. Democracy speaks about it is an art of governance. It talks about our processes, our laws, how we make those laws, how we enforce those laws, the justice, the fairness, the equity in the system, unfortunately. And that is the challenge we have. It's not like we do not have laws. They are not perfect. But even laws as a means of social engineering are not meant to be perfect. They change from time to time and the society changes. The problem we have, guys, is the lack of political will to enforce those laws, however imperfect they are. Laws are not obeyed. How do you speak to a government and do not obey judgments? CERAB has more than 11 judgments against the federal government that is yet to be enforced. And that is just that. We're not talking of several individuals and agents of government who have made claims against the government in court and do not. The government is just not obeying laws. If the government at the highest level, the federal government, can disobey the rule, the orders of court with impunity, what do you say? What can you talk about law enforcement agencies who are even under the federal government as it were? And that is why we must understand, as we talk about this aspect of democratic parties where we want to elect individuals, we must understand the importance that after the 2023 elections, governance will continue. And we must put these things as part of the context to these elections. The rule of law must prevail, among other things. We must have an independent judiciary. We must have the principle of separation of powers. Agencies of government must be independent and they must work. Agencies of government must understand that they serve the people, they obey the people, and they are ultimately responsible to the people. And they must understand that they must be accountable for the use of these powers. So whichever law enforcement agencies that make this arrest, for instance, the acts that set them up, might have given them powers to make arrests, and that is not in doubt. But that act itself is subject to the Constitution, and the Constitution itself has guaranteed individual Nigerians certain rights, including officers of those institutions. So just because they wear uniform and they carry arms doesn't mean they are also immune to either have those rights or to claim them. They are Nigerians first and foremost. And after they put off those uniforms and they drop the guns, they will still be Nigerians. So the Constitution has provided rights for every Nigerian, among which is the freedom of expression. among which is the right to fair, among which is the right to freedom of movement, and so on. And so in carrying out their task, they must understand why these laws are made. That even the same laws protect them. And that's why we've seen instances where people are in power and they get away with some things. And when they drop that power, the same law they've abused now comes to haunt them. And then they remember all of a sudden
then they will call on the people to rise up to defend the law.
Unfortunately, it is not the people that rise up to enforce the law. The people enforce the law through the ballot, and they enforce the law through conversations just like this advocacy, like we're doing presently. But the people have people in positions who are either elected or appointed to enforce the laws. And that is why the people must continue, like we're doing presently, to hold those individuals accountable that you were elected to do this. You are appointed to do this, and this is what the law says you must do. This is what the law says you must not do. You must do it.
Well, we do have to go for a commercial break right now, caller. We'll return afterwards. The conversation will continue, by the way. Join us well via Facebook and Twitter at Nigeria Info PH. That's at Nigeria Info PH, Facebook and Twitter. Don't forget YouTube as well. Let's get your take on this. We'll return shortly. Do please stay with us.
We take off with the biggest conversations, with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say, hello, Port Harcourt.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station. And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Hello and welcome back to the Hard Facts to Nigeria Info, your number one talk station. I'm Dial. We've got about 23 to go before 6. All the momentous cautions continue, and once again, referencing Serap's tweet about 2 days ago, courtesy Serap's official Twitter handle, breaking, the Buhari administration must immediately and unconditionally release Aminu Muhammad, student of the Federal University Dutse, who was reportedly arrested over a post on Twitter allegedly criticizing the First Lady, will see in court if he's not immediately released. Joining me via phone for this once again is Serap's deputy director, Kola Ali Oluwadare. Kola, you're welcome back. Hello, Kola, you're welcome back.
Hello, Dai. Hello.
Yes, Kola, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you,
Dai. All right, great. So earlier, we're talking about, you know, the inadequacies of our democracy earlier on, and if the information that's circulated online is anything to go by, and that if it's true that he was arrested for a tweet put up some months ago criticizing the First Lady for having gained weight, according to him, for feeding on the resources belonging to the poor mass of the country. And if the reports are true that he was taken to State House Abuja, where he was beaten, some reports say even beaten by the First Lady as well, where she reportedly fractured a foot. And if all this is true, it's wrong to borrow your word a while ago. It's illegal. And also, you know, I mean, it smacks of many things wrong. And you, like you also said, it would just be one of the very other many that happen quite regularly, most of which you probably never even hear about. And I was asking about democracy, and how democracies are supposed to give effect to the rule of law, and why ours is not doing that. You explained in some detail a while ago as to the political will to do that. We have government in Nigeria that don't obey court judgments. I think I saw, after I resumed on the show today, I saw a story, something about the IG of police having been sentenced to 3 months by a court for contempt. I need to look into that in some detail later on. So if that's our situation, what then do we need to do, like you said, beyond going to the polls every 4 years? I mean, early next year, Nigerians will go to vote again. If a democratic system does not give effect to the rule of law, what else then do we need to do besides going to the polls every 4 years?
Thank you very much. Before we go into that, I think I need to mention the facets of wrong in this particular instance. if indeed the facts that that are available now, they are true. I've said it in the first time that the act of putting out a tweet does not constitute a criminal offense. And let us even assume it was. The fact that it has been kept in detention by any law enforcement agency beyond the statutory time, again, is wrong. And so if the law enforcement agencies that have arrested him claims that he has committed a crime, he has been arrested. He should have been brought before a court for them to establish his culpability otherwise now. And from the reports we have, it's more than 5 days. That is clearly wrong. And that is besides the fact that what is allegedly being said from the facts available now is not a crime. So I've said that prior. I think one of the most important things we can do, among other things, is for Nigerians as rights holders to even understand what the rule of law is, what the standard set by democracy is. That way we can hold the right holder, the duty bearers, those in the public service, to account. But even if we, the right holders, that is the people who elected and appointed these people, by the way, do not understand what the rule of law is and the concept of democracy, how do you think we can effectively engage beyond electing people or appointing people to be in office? Because when I say Nigerians appoint, when you elect people, when the people that you elect appoint people, indirectly you are the one appointing those persons, which is why everybody that holds public office in Nigeria is ultimately answerable to the people, whether they are elected or appointed. And so people need to understand this political conversation, that this kind of thing that happened is just one out of many. We should use this to engage and to understand what is right and what is wrong within the context of the laws that we have, within the context of the rule of law. Not just because this happened to one guy that you like. What if it had happened to someone you don't like? What if it had happened to someone of another tribe, another political affiliation, another religion? It does not matter. And until we get beyond that threshold, really, we can't shout and scream about this particular instance. In another instance, if it happens to someone else that you really do not care about, then you will not care. That is why we need to understand. It even shows that in the way we are engaging politically, in the way we are going about the politics in 2023, we should use issues like this to drive home the point why we must obey the rule of law. Not only because this individual, Aminu, is a Nigerian, he is a young man, but because most importantly, he is a human being and he has been granted rights by the Constitution. The same rights that have been granted to those who hold power over him permanently. These conversations are very important. They are a means to an end so that we can all understand, so that we can drive this point home to those who hold power.
Very quickly, in about a minute, please. What is Sarah planning to do about this in about a minute?
We are considering our legal system. Our lawyers are studying the facts and they are trying to get more facts, more clarity on the facts. The law is very clear, really. So once we have the facts, we're exploring our legal options. I'm going to court, it's not ruled out in this system. And now you're like, we cannot afford to give up. So we just have to keep considering.
We have to wrap it up on that note. Many thanks for joining. And by the way, keep the conversation going on our social media pages, Facebook and Twitter at Nigeria Info Page. And after the major news at 6 p.m., I'll take your responses to this conversation as well. But thanks to my guest also who joined me via phone, Olalekunlua Dare is Deputy Director with Serap. Pardon me, Kola Wolelua Dare, I meant to say. Kola, many thanks for your time.
Thank you very much, Dave.